This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And in a few minutes, I'm just waiting for a call in from Mark Victor Hansen. You've all heard of him. I mean, he is such an amazing person and a personality, and it's pretty amazing. He has been responsible for the sale of 500 million books. I mean, when you think about it, it's amazing. He is, of course, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, a book series that's led to so many other things. So it's really exciting that I'm going to be able to talk to him. And then later on in the program, I'm going to be talking to this is just, you know, I just love when someone writes a middle grade book that really is intelligent and smart and clever. And so I'm really happy always when I get books from Rick Riordan and his wonderful series of books about mythology. And Lori Lee will be on, and she's going to be talking about a really interesting book that she's written. I thought it was so fascinating. It's about Vietnam, about mythology in Vietnam, and so it's really exciting that I'm going to be talking to her. But when I wanted to mention again, this has been absolutely a fantastic thing. Somehow you all just woke up and started sending me these emails, and I've been getting so many. And I'm going to repeat my email again, just so you can do it again. It's patsy.radio@gmail.com. Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I. And there's a whole big long story about how I got that name. And so I've repeated it a couple times on the air, and I'll do it again because it is fascinating. But it is Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I, .radio@gmail.com. And I'm looking forward to receiving more of your emails, particularly after I talked to Barbara Post the other day about the seminar that she's going to have actually tomorrow. And it is one of the Jane Friedman seminars. And you can go to my website, radio-joyonpaper, and right at the top, I have a link there, and you can sign in and sign up for this seminar. And it's specifically talking about hybrid publishing, but in general, talking about publishing and the publishing world and what are some ideas that Barbara has. She is an absolute, she's a delight. She's silly and funny, and her seminars are always great on whatever subject she gives a seminar about. So I would highly recommend that you take this seminar. It's only $25. It's well worth it just to be around her and to be able to learn from her, because she's a hoot, and I really love her. So that's on my website. But, it's one of the things is, sometimes, with Joy on Paper, I get my own little miracles here. And one of them, of course, is to be able to talk to somebody who has created miracles for so many people. I am still sort of, I'm trying to get my head around this number, 500 million books sold. Mark Victor Hansen, welcome to Joy on Paper. And Crystal, are you there too?
I'm here too, Patsy. Nice to be here with you.
We're delighted to be with somebody that spells their name in an unusual, wondrous, and uplifted way.
Well, it is. And the story about it is very uplifting too, because Jimmy Hoffa gave me that name. Yes.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a big name.
he used to bounce me on his knee when I was a baby and a little girl. So, yeah, that's where my name comes from.
Wow, not too many people can say that.
No, they can't. Wow. I'll tell you, all morning I've been thinking, I have to say, 500 million books, and I keep thinking, What? It's like, it's mind-blowing.
Well, the blessing is that everyone loves chicken soup, and then I've been blessed to write 318 books in 44 years, and people love it, and I think everyone's got a book in them, so I even wrote a book on, you have a book in you, because everyone comes up and says, you're world's best-selling author, according to Guinness Book of Records, and then we did the book of books called Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, which is the, Crystal and I wrote it, and it's the fastest-selling book right now, and we think it's going to eclipse chicken soup. And people say, well, you're hardening the list. Just the opposite. We want everyone to read and write, and everyone's got a story in them, and we want them to share it and make the world better.
Well, of course, Chicken Soup for the Soul has led to so many wonderful things, and it has helped so many authors who have taken part in the whole adventure that you created from something that was actually rejected.
Rejected. Understatement. Forgive me, but 144 people said, actually, they said to my partner, Jack Cantill, hit the road, Jack. And I said, I'm a nice guy, though. And our agent fired us, and then we had a tough time getting on New York Times because the lady said, look, you, this is a multi-authored book, and she was with disdain. And I said, you don't do multi-author books? She said, nope. I said, you do the Bible. It's got 66 authors, and if we had maps, 720. She said, you're going to be in next week, sir.
Wow. It is such an... And this all started in what year was it again? It's like...
the book came out June 28, 1993. The books are still rocking in all kinds of places, literally around the world, and they've got two movies coming out. So we are blessed, beyond thankful, and we want everyone to read uplifted, enchanting stories. As you know, the subtitle I wrote was Heart-Touching, Soul-Penetrating Stories, and who doesn't love those?
Exactly. Well, you know, you didn't hear the opening to my show, but I open my show with this statement. It's always every day. Joy on Paper is a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And so this is a perfect book for all of the people who are listening to this program. And because so many of them are dreaming of writing, and you really have an answer here. You have a real simple sort of, it's a real three-letter word, ask, ask, just ask. So can you explain that?
Well, Crystal and I want her to get to talk too, but Crystal and I said, look, we've traveled to 80 countries, talked to 7 million people around the world, and what happens is we meet all these phenomenal people, and the difference between somebody succeeds a little and somebody succeeds a lot is one word, A-S-K, ask, and we said it's a bridge from your dreams to your destiny. We say you're coded at birth, at DNA and RNA to ask, and we're saying there's three avenues limited to ask. Ask yourself, ask others, and ask God.
Wow. Well, it sounds simple, but so many people never think of that. While they're busy mumbling four-letter words, they don't think of this simple three-letter word. So, Crystal, where do they start?
Well, you know, it's funny because it sounds so simple, but in all the studies we've looked at, Patsy, people really have a hard time asking. You know, we're all born as little children with so uncorrupted in our ability to ask. We're not afraid to ask, you know. First of all, we're wildly curious. We're asking who, what, when, where, why, every second, right? How? And we're also not afraid to ask for pretty much everything we want. You know, we want more, more, more. But then depending on how we were parented, what happened in our school years, you know, how we got rejected at our jobs, our opinions weren't valued, over time that beautiful ability to ask kind of starts to get crushed out of us. And then we suddenly find ourselves standing there as adults, literally terrified to ask anyone anything and sort of ashamed that we don't have all the answers, as if any of us could ever have all the answers even in a whole lifetime, right? So Mark and I realized this is such an important topic because as we started to dive into this topic for ourselves and really explore it in terms of writing the book about it, we realized that every single obstacle, every single adversity that we've personally experienced in our own lives, individually and together, we have gotten through it by asking, being able to formulate the right question at the right time in the right way that gave us that question, asking that question brought the new insight, the new solution, the new plan, and that is what propelled us forward. So if we don't learn to ask in this life, there's no way we're going to move out of whatever, you know, misery, whatever challenge, whatever stuckness we're in at the moment. It is the way to propel yourself forward into literally whatever you want.
Well, you know, as children, children ask from, you know, they start asking really early in life, and they ask and they ask, and that's how they learn. And that's how, you know, that's why parents have to be receptive to kids when they're asking these questions. Now, when you're an adult and you want something, for example, I have so many people who are writers or who started writing this, you know, during this pandemic-y time. And they're still afraid to ask even for help from readers groups because they think they're not worthy enough. That it's not good enough yet. I have to wait. I don't want to show it to anybody. What do you say to them?
Well, you know, we always say that, you know, Mark mentioned the three channels through which that we all need to learn to ask are ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And often when we're terrified to ask, our asking journey really starts with ourselves, asking ourselves those questions. Because in the book, we talk about the seven roadblocks to asking, okay? And the reason we don't ask other people is because we all carry at least one, if not all, of these roadblocks. And the roadblocks are, and we can go really deep into them. In the book, we go really deep. We tell the stories about them so people can relate to that and really overcome these roadblocks, because we have to overcome them to become good askers and get what we want in life. But the roadblocks are unworthiness, naivete, doubt, excuses, fear, pattern paralysis, and disconnection. And I'm happy to go into any one of those, Patsy, but that's pretty much, those are the seven roadblocks that really plague all of us and shut us down from achieving our greatest life purpose and greatest destiny.
Oh, I so want to help people, and I ask them to ask me, you know, even when they're doubtful about whether or not they should continue writing, for example, I say, well, ask, and I hope that I can encourage you to do it, because you only get so far on your own. You need to have some outside input.
Absolutely. When we did Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, fortunately, we knew ahead of time Warner and his daughter was running Nickelodeon. We had 12,000 kids electronically test every story, and Jack and Mark took all our names off, Art Buchwald's name, anybody's author is, said the story had to stand absolutely on its own, and that book sold 19 million the first year. And what you're saying is, and one of the 38 things we teach in my book called You Have a Book in You, is that feedback is the breakfast of champions. In other words, most authors are afraid of feedback, number one, or number two, they just have themselves and the editor, maybe their spouse. That's just not enough feedback. You've got to have the feedback of the felt need of the buying public for your book, assuming you want to sell. Ask for that feedback.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned teenagers, because I was thinking in terms of your book. Right now, you know, the world is crazy, and it is one of the saddest things that I'm reading about are the teenagers who are not able to handle things right now. So many are stressed, and there have been so many suicides, and I have been so upset that these children, young people, have not asked for help.
That's right, and it is so tragic, and we are... You know, we talk about that in our book. We talk about, are you too isolated to ask? And right now in this world we live in, and particularly now after everything we've gone through, people feel so isolated because isolation is being pushed. And now more than ever, we need to encourage this connectedness, this asking. And I'll tell you, when people get this book and start reading it, they're coming back to life because they realize that they're shut down from all of these experiences. You know, we've been frozen in time, and we need to come out of that by asking ourselves, asking others, and asking God. Because the truth of it is, we are all one another's greatest resources. I mean, we are here to connect with one another. We're here to feed back to each other. We can't do this life without each other. So, you know, the ask yourself part of this journey is the reflective journey. It's how do I determine where I need to be? Where am I now? where do I need to go, and what action am I going to take to get there? And all these other, we have so many wonderful questions in the book that help you explore that inner journey of asking yourself the self-intervention questions. And, you know, we were talking about authors when they're stuck, when they're feeling these emotions, when they're feeling inadequate, unworthy, doubt. You know, it's so important to spend that time with yourself. It's the most important time to get clarity so that you can go forward in life, so that you can connect with other people. But things like, you know, the self-intervention questions are like, wait, what thoughts am I thinking right now about this experience? What emotions am I feeling right now about this situation and why? And what are the beliefs behind my emotions? Why am I afraid? Why do I feel this inadequacy? You know, are these just automatic negative thoughts that keep popping up? And why do they pop up? What did I actually hear or see in regard to this situation or occurrence? Is there any reason for me to be afraid, right? And so we can, by asking ourselves these questions, we can start to reveal the truth that a lot of the stuff that we carry is just baggage from our past, and we're letting it rule us today. We're letting it control what we do with our lives. We're letting it stop us in our tracks, and that's why we need to remove the roadblocks and connect with other people, because this connection is essential. We have to be there for one another. And I would say anyone who has any teenagers that matter to you in this life, get this book. Teens are really coming to life through reading this book. It starts with this story called The Fable of Michaela. And I don't know, Patsy, if you got a chance to read the fable.
Oh, yes.
But it's about, okay, so let's just talk about it. We don't want to give it all away, but I just wanted to talk about that fable for a minute, because it's really every woman, every man's story. So it starts with this, you know, fictional character, Michaela, and she's lost everything in life, right? And so her job basically every day is to lift heavy rocks. She's basically an indentured servant at a stone quarry. This is like set in the time of kings and queens. And her job every day is to move heavy rocks from one place to another. And honestly, I think people feel like that about life, especially now, right now, you know, that they're kind of moving heavy rocks from one place to another. Well, Michaela goes home. Her home is basically a grove of trees, because she's lost everything. She's lost her parents. She's lost her home. The bill collectors took it away from her. She's sleeping in a grove of trees, and she falls into this exhausted sleep. And a being comes to her in her dream and says, Michaela, come with me. He shows her this sparkling, asking bridge and admonishes her to start asking and never stop, among other things. He talks about other things. And she sees this vision of what people are really doing, how they're missing the bridge, missing the opportunities in their lives, and then they're not even seeing it. They're not even aware this bridge to their destiny is there. And so she wakes up, and she knows something important just happened. And she keeps remembering what the being told her. And all of a sudden, layer by layer, question by question, answer by answer, she starts to look around her, wonder about the people around her, start asking questions. Her life becomes, she changes her life by 180 degrees. At the end of the story, she's living a completely different life as a completely different person. And it's so wondrous, because that is all of our story, and that's why we wrote that story.
Well, I think it's very effective, and I think that as I said, I've been thinking, well, since I've, you know, read the book, but particularly as I'm getting prepared for this interview, and I've been really so sad that with hearing about the problems that young people particularly are having, that I thought this opening, this Michaela fable, is so good, because when you start on the Golden Destiny Bridge, and then we go through step by step as she learns, as she grows, it's a beautiful story. And I think many, that's why I'm glad you said about, you know, giving it as a gift to teenagers. If you have any teenager in your life, this is a great book, because they will like this beginning. You know, you give a kid a book and it says, do this, or do that, do this, do this. They're not going to relate that well. But this story of Michaela just drags you in and draws you in. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful story and a beautiful way to get people to start thinking about, you know, well, you know, ask yourself, and when you get to things like the amethyst gift, and you know, Michaela's second dream. I just one after another. Each of the stories are so poignant and so good that I really hope that people will do this. And particularly if you have kids who have gone away, they've gone now back to college, and they're in dorm rooms and not doing things like they used to. Not they can't take part in events, and they're still isolated. And people look at them, you know, cross-eyed if they go here or go there. A book like this could really, really help them.
So let me talk to that three different quick ways. And Patsy, we're so delighted to be with you. We're overjoyed. But what's happened is that we've had so many letters. Like one day we got 127 letters in one day, and the father says, I read the book, liked it so much, I woke up my wife, then I woke up my teenager, read that, and then we went through every question. So that's number one. Number two is my request is, everybody, don't get one book, get two. Get one for you and one for your teenager or your college kid. Go over every question in the book, and you're going to find, you're going to meet each other, because life is about self-awareness, self-expression, self-mastery, and self-realization. And the people that can't do that, that get thwarted in that third thing, ask God, there's closing down their spirit. That's the 130 kids a day that are committing suicide based on, we've been on a lot of psychiatrist podcasts lately, and they're saying, hey, these kids, you can't close them down. They need social interaction. And the way to do social interaction is with wise questioning. And the other choice is, for those of you kids that are out there that are in journalism classes or English classes going to write, go over with another student and go through everything. Or if you can do a faculty member that you trust or a mentor or a business partner, get two books and go through it together, and it'll transform your life, because we really put our heart and soul into that. And that's, you know, because everything we learn in Chicken Soup, this is it on steroids.
Well, it is. And I can see how it will change people's lives. I can see how people will read this book and want to share it, first of all, but also that they'll sit back and they'll say, to you, to both of you, just thank you. Thank you for putting this book together. Thank you for reaching out and helping so many people. You know, I was particularly interested when I was reading about Crystal. You know, there aren't very many opportunities in my life to talk to somebody with your training and your background. And I have to mention it, because you're so impressive. And
Thank you.
You know, it's wonderful. And I can see that all of your understanding about perhaps human nature, as so much of it does come through from your background of your neuroscience, epigenetics, which I think you're the only epigenetic person I've had an opportunity to talk to, and even quantum physics. But all of that has led to this understanding of human nature and of how we can sort of relate to each other.
Exactly. And you know, just to sum it up in one sentence, all of those things lead back to one simple thing, Patsy, and that is what we expect in life, what we're anticipating in life, is exactly what we will get. That is the power that we have as creators in our life. I mean, scripture tells us we were created in the Creator's image, and I think so few people really get what that means, okay? They think, what, do I look like God? No, you were created in the image of God because you are a creator. And God gave us the imagination. No other animal has imagination. And our imaginations are so powerful, literally. In our imagination, we can form any vision of ourselves and the world around us. And as the more we lock into that vision, we literally create the neural connections in our minds and in our bodies, because when we think a thought in our mind, it creates all kinds of chemistry that cascades through our body. So we can create literally anything. We can create states of wellness. We can create states of prosperity. We can create our greatest expression. If we want to be the greatest author in the world, that's what we can create. But it starts inside of us. And that's why this asking journey is so important, sitting with yourself and asking all of these questions to get to the point. We say there are three critical phases of asking yourself. It's, you know, where am I now? And that's really saying, do I like the way things are going? You know, all the little questions that come under that. is this working? Is this what is making me happy, or is there something else? And then the second phase is, where do I really want to be in my life? And ask that from a place where you are willing to dissolve all of your roadblocks and go for broke. You ask that question from the nth degree of your greatest vision and imagine yourself on the stage of your life being the greatest expression of whatever you're doing in your career. And then ask the questions backwards. Who am I talking to every day? How is that affecting people? What is the joy behind what I'm doing? What is it that propels me forward every day? And, you know, what products and services am I sharing with people? How are they responding to me? In that way, you can literally engineer your perfect life backwards. And then, of course, the final phase of that is, you know, where am I now? Where do I want to be? And what specific action steps do I need to take to get there? Because we're in this physical world where we do need to take action. When you start getting your answers, because you will, when you start creating this new life for yourself, this when you start becoming your greatest self-expression and the answers are coming to you, you need to act on those. When you think of that person, pick up the phone and call them. When you, that person that might be a great resource, when you, you know, see something that calls to you, investigate it, read it, watch it, whatever it is. Things are coming to you. The universe is perfectly designed. We live, our source, our creator, God, put us in this perfectly designed universe, and everything attracts something else. So every bit of energy you're putting out is attracting what you're getting.
Or repelling.
Or, well, actually really attracting it, because you're getting what is inside of you. You're getting what's being drawn to you are those programs that are running through your mind, often at a subconscious level. And that's why we need to do these self-intervention questions. Because if we look around our lives and say, gosh, I really don't like my life. I don't like my relationships. I don't like the way my career is going. We need to understand at some deep level, we are magnetizing exactly that. But here's the beautiful thing. You can magnetize something completely different the minute you choose to. The minute you choose to understand how powerful you are and start asking the right questions, you can magnetize that the exact life you want for yourself. And it's such a beautiful process. And there's nothing that makes me happier than helping people understand that beautiful power within them to live their most amazing life.
Well, you are both amazing people. And of course, Mark Victor Hansen, you are a symbol for everyone not to give up, just not to give up. If you have the dream, and you certainly ran with it, with Chicken Soup for the Soul, and now with all of the other work that you guys are doing, you are both, you know, so active and getting out there, reaching people. And I know that you're working hard. You have an organization in Hawaii that works on energy. So you're doing a lot of things to help the world. But bringing these books out, and I think the new book definitely is one that I think would be exactly. You have to buy one. You have to buy two, three, or four, and send them to people that you know, and particularly to anyone you know who is isolated or who's really sort of frightened about what's going on in the world. This is a perfect gift, and it's called Ask. And it is really, I love the cover. It's Ask, the Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. And both of you are, I think you're tremendous people. And I'm really honored to talk to you. And when I think of the fact that, what's the journey to the moon is, about 238,000 miles, I think. And you've
yep.
written 500. You'll lay your books end to end. You can walk to the moon on them. It's amazing.
I love your metaphor to the moon and back. When I was in graduate school, I was with Dr. Buckminster Fuller, who wrote the book From the Moon to the Moon and Back. And the other day I was on a podcast and somebody said, my gosh, you sold so many books. You're hogging the market. I said, no, just the opposite. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's like the 4-minute mile. After Roger Bannister broke it, 119 people did the next week. And in business, when somebody broke $1 trillion in 2 years, five companies have done $1 trillion, now two trillion. I'm just setting the benchmark for all of us. But my real benchmark, just so you know, is I want to sell a billion books. Not for me. I'm saying our book, Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny, is the most screaming, great, life-transforming deal you can ever invest in because it's not very expensive.
And it's a perfect book.
Phenomenally good.
Now, is there a website you want people to go to?
Yes. So the best place to get the book is just Amazon.com. It's at BarnesandNoble.com and all the places, but it just seems like everybody's got their Amazon account. It's the easiest way. Plus, you can get it on Kindle, audiobook, and sometimes people like to get the book and then listen to it on audiobook in the car because it reinforces it. But so Amazon, the book's there, Ask, The Bridge from Your Dreams to Your Destiny. And then, yeah, connect with us on social media, too. We love to stay in touch with everyone. I'm at Crystal Dwyer Hansen. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those things. Okay. And Mark, of course.
Okay. Well, they will find you. And just if you don't know, ask me. Ask Patsy with a Z. Anyway, thank you both for being on Joy on Paper today. It has been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you. A joy to talk to you. Thank you, Patsy, for having us.
Okay.
Patsy, it was a great joy.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye. We're going to have... we're going to have just the EHS commercial because they are a new sponsor, and then we're going to come to our next author, okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, Lori Lee. Wow, what a book she has written. I tell you, she is an amazing author. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Lori Lee. Lori, your new book, I think, is amazing. It is just amazing. It is called Pow. Is it? Am I pronouncing it the right way?
Well, first, thank you so much. It is pronounced Pahua.
Pahua.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it is so funny. I was, I just got such a kick out of this book. I started reading it, and when I started reading it, I thought, oh, this is so funny. Most people don't, you know, we don't know sort of all the mythologies of all the world, and we've sort of concentrated a lot on Ireland, so we're all familiar with leprechauns. But I found your character so funny, so cute. I thought, oh my goodness, this is delightful. So you have to tell us about this, the book, and how you got into it, and just tell us about some of these characters you've written. I think they are delightful. I'm going to particularly, I'll tell you which one I really love, but you go ahead and tell us about how you came out with this book.
Thank you. So Pahua and the Soul Stealer is about an 11-year-old girl who can see spirits, and not just the ghostly human kind, but she can see nature spirits, and she can see animal spirits. Her best friend is a talking cat spirit named Me, which is the Hmong word for cat. this ability leads to her accidentally unleashing a ghost from her local haunted bridge. And what happens is the spirit steals her brother's soul And so she has to venture into the spirit realm to find her brother and bring him back.
Well, explain about the Hmong people. Most people don't know about them, and I have to spell it. It's H-M-O-N-G. Explain what that means.
Sure. So the Hmong people are an ethnic minority, which is originated from southern China, and which has migrated throughout southeast China and the world, because I'm from Wisconsin. And probably the most famous Hmong person right now is Sunisa Lee, who just won gold at the Olympics this summer. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting that, you know, she's kind of bringing more of a spotlight on Hmong culture and Hmong ethnicity. So basically, in the Hmong culture, traditionally, there is the belief that if you fall gravely ill, it could be due to contact with an evil spirit or your soul having become lost from your body. And so in those cases, a shaman would be called, and they would perform rituals, you know, figure out what's going on. In some cases, they would travel into the spirit realm to retrieve your spirit and bring it back. And so that became the premise for Pahua.
Well, and the name of the book, Pahua, and the Soul Stealer. Now, she is... You have written a character who is so, just so relatable. And I was thinking, you know, of course, this is supposed to be for middle grade, but I'll tell you, adults will enjoy this book. I got such a kick out of it. There were just so many things. And as you said, all of the characters that you've created, well, I guess they're real, real in the term of mythology. Now, were you raised on that mythology? Did you know about it when you were young, or how did you get involved with it?
Yes, I am Hmong, so I was raised within that culture, although I did spend a lot of time as a kid, unfortunately, like distancing myself from my culture for a lot of...
Well, yeah, that's what happens so often. You know, I come from a farm family and a different background too, and I didn't want anything to do with it at the time. You know, I didn't want to speak the language. I didn't want to know anything. And then later on, I realized, my goodness, what an opportunity I missed. Now you can really relate to it and understand it, and it's great that you're bringing it out, not just to, you know, to the world, and of course, sort of reinforcing among the Hmong people that, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yes. I hope a lot of kids, you know, who are, especially Hmong American kids who grew up, you know, who have assimilated quite a bit into an American culture, like, you know, want to reconnect with their roots.
Yeah, well, you know, that it's important. It's a wonderful gift that you're giving to people. And of course, I saw that you dedicated the book partly to your mom. And there were so many things in this book I loved. the little brother. I love when you talk about the little brother. Little brothers can be annoying. Yes. And I had a little brother, so I relate to that. Tell us about the cat, and tell us about the fire. The one... What's his name? The one on the fire.
The fire demon, or the heart spirit?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So me, which is her best friend, the cat spirit, he is just, he's sort of the character who is a foil to Pahoa, who's the main character, because she's a little shy. She's a little introverted. She sort of needs a kick in the butt to, you know, to come out of her cell a little bit. She's the reluctant hero. Me is her best friend, and he's the kind of friend who will just tell you like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat. He's going to tell you when you're doing something ridiculous or idiotic, but he's also going to have your back. So he's that, you know, he's a cat, so that is, you know, his personality. And then the hearth spirit, that is a guardian house spirit, which in the Hmong culture, typically the hearth spirit is, you know, it protects the home from from evil spirits, and it sort of exists in conjunction with a bunch of other similar house spirits. Like, for example, there is a door spirit, and that sort of spirit guards the home, you know, or protects the home from anything evil entering. It allows positive energy in, and it blocks negative energy. And it's similar with the hearth spirit.
Well, tell us about how you got together with Rick, and about his process too of really encouraging authors to write about their mythology.
As I understand it, Rick was given the opportunity to have an imprint at Disney, which is his publisher, and he decided to, you know, create this imprint, Rick Riordan Presents, which highlights different cultures and different mythologies from around the world, told by authors who are from those cultures. So, when it was first announced several years ago, I thought immediately it would be so cool to write for this imprint, but I didn't write middle grade at that time. I wrote I write primarily young adult, which is a slightly older audience. But I thought if I ever wrote a middle grade, I would just love to write for Rick Riordan Presents. And it's really just a lot of things lining up, and Providence and Rick being so great. And of course, you know, me finding the right book. All the stars aligned, and they actually loved, you know, the story that I pitched them.
Well, I think it's a great story. What I like about it is it's very intelligent. You're an intelligent writer. You use big words. I mean, you're not shy about using, you know, sometimes words that are new, might be new to readers. But that's how they learn. If you dumb it down too much, it doesn't make a book interesting. So that's why I found your writing very interesting, very just a lot of fun to read.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like especially writing for that younger audience, you want to respect their intelligence, because they're kids, but they're also extremely, you know, intuitive, and they pick up a lot more than what we give them credit for.
Well, you know, the stories, I think they're going to love this story because, as you said, you know, she's a little bit shy, and so many kids are, and they're reading and they're thinking, you know, everybody's going to be, you know, think that I'm, you know, not important, I'm shy, I don't get out there and talk to people. But here she is, she's shy, but boy, oh boy, when she gets into action, we have some pretty... It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Pahoa, she's a reluctant hero. She's not really, you know, she doesn't see herself as a hero, but her brother is, you know, stolen, and she is technically at fault. So she takes it upon herself to, you know, go and save him and do what needs to be done. And she learns, you know, she has to learn a long way that there's just different ways to be a hero. Like, being a hero isn't necessarily charging into battle with your sword drawn, you know, it's just the little things, the little braveries.
Well, that's why I related to it, because I was thinking, as I was reading, I was thinking of my little brother, and I love that, eating the cereal, and my brother used to eat like that. I had names for him. little slobby kid, but you know, you love your little brothers, you know, you're gonna get out there, and if they're in trouble, you're gonna help them, right?
Oh yes, absolutely. As much as they annoy you, I mean, they're yours to
protect and to love. And I think that's also a wonderful thing. When some kid is reading this, they're going to be able to relate to this because they have it in their own families and they understand it. And I just, right across the board, the storyline is great. The writing is terrific, really terrific. I think it's one of the best middle grade books I've read ever. I mean, it's really that good. I was just enchanted with it. I'm thinking to myself, well, and I tell people, you know, I know it's middle grade, but there's in this time sort of where everybody's very nervous and very on edge, a book like this can really be a relief. You read it and you feel good about it. You feel good and hopeful about people in general. You say, yeah, there's good people out there. And we can make a difference just by you know, thinking about that. And then the extra bonus of learning about a new culture that we don't know about, I think will also help a lot with understanding for the, you know, people, you know, who don't understand anything about Hmong culture. I think it really will help.
Yeah, I really hope so. You know, what I hope for Pahoa is that even dressed up, you know, with in the Hmong culture and all these unfamiliar words and settings and all that stuff, that there is still that underscore of familiarity. Like, what I mean by that is, like, Pahoa goes on this incredible journey through a spirit realm, you know, with wind spirits and dragons and flying horses. But the themes of family and friendship bind it all together. And at the heart of the story, there is this kid dealing with a broken family, dealing with issues of identity, figuring out who she is and learning to accept herself. And it's the kind of story that, you know, underneath the fantastical setting and the cast of spirits and shamans, it's a story every kid who's ever felt too weird or too different to fit in will recognize.
Exactly. It's just beautifully written. And I want to really thank Disney and Rick Riordan for sending this book to me. It's been a thrill for me to read it. And I know that for all of you out there, if you don't have a child in your life, if you have a child in your life, get this book for them. And if you don't have a child in your life, this is an absolutely perfect book to send to one of the children's hospitals near you, or to Shriners, or to St. Jude's, because the children in hospitals need books. So if you just take a minute, go on to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, click on it, and send it as a gift. You can just contact your local hospital and say, you know, what's the address I should send it to, and send it as a gift, because this is a book that any kid in a hospital would just, they will be thrilled with it.
Oh, thank you. That is so lovely. And to be honest, I mean, although it is specifically for, you know, ages 8 to 12, I subscribe to the belief that you never outgrow children's books. Those books stay with you forever, and so why not keep reading them?
Exactly. I keep reading Helen Cresswell's The Bagthorpe books, and those are written, again, they're supposed to be middle grade. I read them practically every month because they make me happy. And if a book makes you happy, then who cares? You know, if it was written, exactly. So Lori M. Lee, because there's probably lots of Lori Lees out there. Do you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, it is simply LoriMLee.com.
Okay, and Lori is spelled with a L-O-R-I. You're a terrific writer. Really, really, you're at the top of your game because you are such a fantastic writer. And people can find you there, and I'm sure you're also on Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff, right?
I am, yes. I'm mostly on Twitter, which is @LoriMLee.
Okay, and I'm sure Lori would love to hear from you if you read this book or if you send it to a kid in a hospital. Oh, wow, wouldn't that be nice? And let Lori know, okay?
Yes, please do.
All right. Lori, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It was a joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, this is what I always tell you, people. If you can, please, please, if you don't have a kid in your family, and I'm talking about a kid's book, do exactly that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I got an email about is that somebody did that. And they sent to Shriners Hospital here in Tampa 10 books from an author that I talked to here on the program. They contacted the hospital. They found out the address. And they went on to Amazon, and they clicked it on. And they said, now they're going to do that. They have the address. Now it's built into their Amazon account. And whenever I talk about a book, a children's book, they're going to go ahead and order that book and have it sent directly to the hospital. The hospitals really, really appreciate it. And one of the things is, I'm not sure now in the hospitals if they can share books from, you know, they used to share books. Now I think you have to give a book to a kid and that book stays with the kid. They're not doing this because of COVID. So they really are short of books. And I know that they really appreciate it. Just send a book. One, you know, some of these books that I talk about, you know, they're $8.99. My goodness, you can afford that. Just click on Amazon, put in your favorite children's hospital's address, and every once in a while, just send them a book and say, here's for a sick kid. And just, you know, say a prayer and send the book. And that would be just a lovely thing to do. Oh, wow. That's, you know, when I was thinking today about Mark David Hansen and his wife, Crystal, they are amazing people. And how do you think of 500 million books? And he was rejected. He told you he was rejected at least 14 times. And he didn't give up. My goodness, he didn't give up at all. The sheer number of it. It would like fill how many bookstores? You can fill bookstore after bookstore after bookstore with that many books. A warehouse, an Amazon warehouse probably. All you have to do is go online and order it and they'll send it to you. It's quite amazing when you think about it. But it's an example of somebody who doesn't give up. And I want to, again, say thank you to Glenn Erickson for supporting Joy on Paper. He's absolutely marvelous, marvelous person. Next week, we're going to have a little promo from Jim Lamb about his book. And we have a lot of things exciting happening in the next few months. It's quite amazing. One of the things I've been talking about also is, of course, intellectual property. Bill Larson is going to be on the program in October, the first week of October, and he will answer your questions about intellectual property. Oh boy, I've heard some really funny stories, and also some stories about people who are buying their books back from their publisher and reissuing them and having success. And I have an author who's going to come on, and she's going to explain the legal troubles she went through, and then how she got her book back and how she has republished. And it's going to be a big, big bestseller. So there's lots of things to learn from Bill Larson of Larson & Larson. Send your questions to me, and I will pass them on to Bill Larson when he comes onto the program in October. And meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know. And you won't unless you get busy and start writing. And Carol J. Perry is telling me that she's writing like crazy, 1,000 words a day, because she has more books. This woman is nonstop. And one day we're going to be able to come on and say she has a series on the Hallmark Channel for her wonderful Witch City Mysteries, because they would be so much fun. I would love to see somebody playing Aunt Ibby. I love Aunt Ibby, one of the best. And of course, they'd have to find a nice cat to play Orion. Oh boy, that would be fun, because he is a hoot. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And you look nice in red. He's in red today. Oh, he looks like our red coats are coming. Red coats are coming. Very handsome. Okay, and he saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general, a wonderful general, and I would have kicked some. Oh, boy, too bad I wasn't a general. Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. A cry for help from more of the nation's hospitals.
We are
struggling at every level just to kind of keep our head above water.
Vet doctors in Birmingham, Alabama, where COVID cases are causing an increasing strain, and CBS's Cammie McCormick tells us it's not just a problem in the South.
The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare says because of the massive increase in patients requiring hospitalizations in all areas of the state, existing resources are exhausted. This crisis standards of care it's activated will mean doctors will have the difficult choice of trying who's more likely to survive.
Alaska's largest hospital has begun rationing care with its ICU and emergency room jammed. Fears of that situation growing in places like South Florida. Dr. Marcos Mestre is chief medical officer at Nicklaus Children's Hospital in Miami. He's worried about the fall and winter.
For things like influenza, RSV, all respiratory viruses tend to peak at that time. So if we get that in addition to COVID, I'm really concerned about our capacity here, not only in space, but also with staff.
Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer convicted of murder in George Floyd's death, has pleaded not guilty for allegedly violating a black teenager's civil rights in a 2017 case using a restraint similar to one used on Floyd. The boyfriend of a missing Florida woman, Gabby Petito, who vanished on a cross-country trip, is being called a person of interest in the case. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
Petito's parents released a new statement that read in part, Brian left Gabby in the wilderness with grizzly bears and wolves while he sits in the comfort of his home. Brian, your silence is reprehensible. Petito's stepfather has now traveled to Wyoming to search for her.
Well, CBS's Diane King Hall tells us about a big change in the field of computing.
Microsoft is ditching passwords. The company said users now have several options to log in, including a security app where you can use a biometric like a fingerprint scan. The feature has been available for corporate accounts since March. Microsoft says there are roughly 18 billion attacks on passwords every year.
Economists thought there would be a decline, but the government says retail sales rose last month. Analyst Ken Perkins says online sales were up big.
Job openings are near record levels, and economic growth has been solid this year, fueling solid sales during the month.
Well, claims for unemployment benefits rose last week from a pandemic low, 332,000 people filing. Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 171 points. NASDAQ is down 70. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Wednesday, the Rays were looking to win a series against the Blue Jays in Toronto. Unfortunately, Toronto got off to a very good start.
First base out of the rubber, he pitches. Line drive to deep left field. Orozarena turns and looks. It's gone. Three-run homer to start the day, and the Blue Jays jump out in front in the first.
That was more than enough for Robbie Ray. Went seven innings, striking out 13. He did make one mistake, though.
Here he steps in, delivers 3-2. Swinging a high fly ball into left. Moving back Gurriel to the edge of the warning track to the wall. Jumps up, gone, home run. Mike Zunino, for the first time in his career, has hit 30 home runs. And the Rays are on the board, 4-1.
Unfortunately, that homer by Zunino was as close as the Rays would get. They fall 6-3, go 4-5 on the road trip, and will come home to host the Tigers on Thursday, airtime 6:30. With a Rays report, I'm Neil Solons.
For information on the Rays, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Did you ever think about hosting your very own radio show? Here's how.
Hey, Tampa Bay, did you know you can have a one-hour program on the Tantalk Radio Network less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many Tampa Bay stations? That's right. We'll put you on the radio for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many stations. Check it out today. Use your program to promote yourself, your business, or someone else's business. Call Lola Jean, the broadcast queen, 727-510-7622. That's 510-7622. Call Lola Jean now to check out your Tantalk network program. In addition to network radio, we'll stream your program in audio and video all over the world. Call Lola Jean now, 727-510-7622. Call today. Your network one-hour program can start tomorrow. Broadcast your message in audio and video on the Tantalk Radio Network.
The Brian Cash Closed Coupon Book is giving out free masks. Just call 727-804-6082. If you need a mask, we'll get it to you for free. That's our donation back to the community. The Brian Cash Claus Coupon Book. Free Mass, 727-804-6082. Free Mass, the Brian Cash Claus Coupon Book.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m.
Hi, this is Paul Malloy, inviting you to join me every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday for Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. On each show, we interview business and political experts, all with the idea of promoting as much individual freedom as we can get. So won't you join and listen in every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time for Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show, right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Chris Stein.